views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Subgroup of people contribute more to civilization
than white people,
than Western civilization itself, that's rooted in Western Europe, Eastern Europe, and the United States of America, and every place where the footprint of Christianity settled the world.
Asia?
That's all of Western civilization.
Well, what about Asia?
Okay,
what about Asia?
Okay, I want to sit here and
you
may civilization. Let me know
for the history of this country.
Let me know for the record that if you're looking at the ledger of Western civilization.
Greetings, 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 everyone. This is the Code Breakers. I'm D.
This is Paradox.
And welcome to our program. Today's date is Tuesday, July 19th, 2016. And we're here to discuss racism once again, to kind of break down some of the further shenanigans that are going on over the prior 2 weeks since our last program. There's been a lot going on. So as you can see, there's plenty to talk about. And I guess what we're going to jump into is, based off the clip, you know, that is from basically the RNC. And who was the gentleman speaking once again, Paradox? The politician's name?
I believe that was, what's the guy's name? Congressman, I don't even have it in front of me.
King.
Congressman King, yeah.
Congressman King.
From, I think he's from New York or Iowa. Greetings, listeners. This is Scotty, just, you know, the engineer trying to be helpful. But it was Congressman King, and I'll look up that information and provide you with it later.
Thank you, sir. So as he kind of went on and talked about Western civilization, that just kind of goes into our particular program. And basically, Paradox, could you kind of list and see what the actual title is of the program this week that we're going to go over?
Sure thing.
And that was U.S. Representative Steve King from Iowa.
Steve King from Iowa.
Since he declared himself as off the suspect list, I guess we can comfortably say that take him off the suspected racist list and just kind of declare him as a full-blood, confirmed a racist, basically off what he said. He made it pretty clear that he's all about white supremacy, hence the words he used, Western civilization, Eastern right. Europe and Western Europe, specifically.
Don't forget he mentioned, I think he said all Christian.
Oh, yeah, that...
You say all Christian areas?
Another code word for white, of course. But yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, the title of the program is, Are There Solutions Within the Democratic Capitalist System? We will be discussing, in part, if the Western Empire, also known as white supremacy, provide reasonable solutions to people classified as black from an economic and classification perspective. We're definitely going to deviate a little bit from the topics today, just due to the amount of things that are going on in the media over the last couple of weeks. But just to get started, a quick definition on democratic capitalism, also known as capitalist democracy, is a political, economic, and social ideology that involves the combination of a democratic political system with a capitalist economic system. It's pushed, it's arranged around the private sector, driven by a market economy, predominantly using democratic policies through free markets, fiscal responsibility, and liberal moral cultural systems, which encourages pluralism. I just do the short definition. They also talk about the golden age of capitalism, which is after World War II, the big expansion. I do want to read Mr. Fuller's compensatory definition, I believe. Area one, economics, which means the correct distribution of and or balance between all animals, persons, places, plants, and things, etc. Economics, in the correct sense, is the sum total of all of the thought, speech, and or action used to produce maximum efficiency in revealing truth in a manner that promotes the establishment of justice and correctness in all areas of activity, including education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Economics also means using all things throughout speech and or action with maximum efficiency, with the objective of eliminating racism, white supremacy. And I'm going to read a little bit more, and then we can go ahead and get into it. Economics does not mean simply acquiring, saving, and or spending money. Economics is not a tool of money. Money is a tool of economics. Economics is the result of a person or person speaking and acting effectively in the production of justice and correctness. It is not simply how money is handled that determines economics. It is a matter of how everything is handled and to what ends. And I'm gonna stop. It's a little bit more, but I'm gonna hold right there. I think that's enough to kind of set the call up a little bit.
That work, and the primary system that we're working under right now is capitalism, which is in layman's terms they call it free enterprise, you know, and basically the private sector outside of the government sector as far as government jobs, which would some would call or say that falls under the guise of socialism. So hence the reason why they want to kind of cut government jobs and put everything into the private sector, which is a whole nother program. But let's just stick on capitalism. You know, does right. capitalism
are there solutions?
Right.
Can capitalism solve the problems that we're having? Or has it solved them? Maybe we don't have any problems.
So let's kind of look at it from a perspective of people that are classified as black, and the reason why we look at capitalism as a solution to defeating the problem of racism. Now, there are a lot of us, and I don't begrudge the point, that want to get into economics as a solution. We do have a group of very, very capable individuals that have been able to deconstruct this system, been able to talk about, you know, viable solutions when it comes down to what we can do and build as far as economics. But there always seem to be roadblocks. So what are the reasons why most victims of racism, people that are classified as black specifically, non-white people, why is there such difficulty in participating into the capitalist system? My point of contention, and this is just my two cents as far as the analysis of the situation, because we haven't reached the point of being able to be self-sufficient in the system, is that this system is interdependent, which means that you can't do it by yourself. Capitalism relies on participation. So it's a group phenomenon. and when groups are not allowed to participate in cohesion with each other, and they participate separately, and they have a dominant group that's over that particular function as far as being able to clothe, feed, provide resources, whatever the case may be, that everything that group that's subordinate under the dominant group is going to always filter the larger system. That's how capitalism works. You can look at it as a pyramid. Everybody at the bottom is the base, but the things that's at the top are the ones that are basically making all the decisions. So they have all the wealth, all the resources, and then they filter it on down to the very, very bottom. And basically, you know that there's most people at the bottom, which would be people classified as not white, of course, or black specifically, and then that group suffers the most. So why can't we participate with capitalism? Why are we not able to get involved and be able to practice group economics? Some people call it black empowerment. Like I said, I think that being that it's an interdependent system which requires participation, this was interrupted a very long time ago. I know people like to go back to slavery, but we don't even have to go that far back. We can go as far back as the 20s and the 30s, where we were still segregated. We were in communities. We were thriving. We knew how to build schools. We knew how to own banks. We knew how to police ourselves. We were self-sufficient. We did not need white people to govern over us. Once this was realized that we were self-sufficient and that we can manage and do things on our own, then things were interrupted. We basically had to be basically disbanded, so to speak. No longer can we work in groups and practice economics. We had to be able to be controlled. Hence the reason why Jim Crow laws became popular. Voting situations, terrorism, violence against black males and black women during that particular time period. And also the freeze out of all those businesses, which means that when those businesses disbanded and those particular people with those talents as far as being able to actually practice economics, when they moved to the larger cities and they tried to get hold and try to share their information and their knowledge, other groups that migrated here from wherever they came from practiced racism against us.
So let me cut you off real quick.
Go ahead.
You're in the right space. So I just want to add in some language as you're making your statements and tying in white supremacy to where, you know, capitalism is something that's implemented. You know, these are economic systems that are implemented. I just want to read a little bit of this and then just kind of stay right where you are. Just tie this language into it. Specifically on the definition of capitalism, is an economic system based on private ownership of the means of production and their operation for profit. So we have private ownership, means of production, and we have profit. When you look at economic system, is a system of production, resource allocation, exchange, and distribution of goods and services in a society of a given geographical area. So like you were saying, that does tie into you can practice obviously group economics, right? You can actually use this system amongst yourselves, right? Any particular group of people. You need goods, you can provide services. I won't touch on scarcity yet, but we can look at resource allocation, et cetera. But just want to just put that in there while you're making your comments.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it. And what I'm trying to say is that there is a reason why it's been so difficult for black people to practice economics, especially with each other. I think a lot of times it's not really thought about or fleshed out as far as like the reasoning why there was such a problem as far as like being able to keep money within our communities. Like, we never think about how difficult this became, why people had to move from where they was originally from, whether it was a small town in the South or whether it was a larger city, and they kept moving for opportunities because of the economic situation that they happened to be in. And then people going off to school and then being plucked when integration took hold. Integration is a big deal. Integration is part of the main reason why we started to struggle, because we stopped depending on ourselves. We became basically totally dependent on white people to provide everything.
We fell into wage labor, right? So we became labor versus I would almost argue and say maybe we was even forced somewhat into labor, or maybe even manipulated.
Right.
Into becoming an employee.
Yeah, we're isolated from each other. Basically, you know, you're away from your family. Some people moved away from their family members that they probably was in business with. I'd imagine when Tulsa, Oklahoma disbanded, people went all over the place across the country.
But you know, the questions were some people actually concerned even about maybe even trying to own something after that first hit, where as you was trying to own things, it was either being stolen from you by white people, or you know, being burnt down, or you being stressed and pushed out of areas, or which I don't hear a lot about is that how were we impacted? Did they do anything else to impact us from an economic perspective? You know, what I mean by that is that say we had crops growing, someone tortures the crops, you know, did that take place? Did people come in when you was trying to get certain resources into your location? Were white people robbing either stagecoaches, you know, cars, trucks, however we was getting the goods and services, you know, after Reconstruction, however we were getting our goods and services, even how was that being hit? You know, so if we're creating things and trying to sell, you know, to other groups, say from Tennessee into Illinois or whatever, how does racism and white supremacy is impacting how you try, as you're trying to do capitalism, you know, how it's affecting you? Before we get into, you know, is capitalism, you know, I say quote unquote good or bad, we'll leave that for a second as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you're speaking about the attacks that people individually received when they try to go at it alone or go at it independently through the system, I think that there was a way of basically creating economic pressure, or making it so difficult to maintain your independence as far as financially being in business, that it didn't make it a viable option for black people to keep doing it that way.
Let me ask this question then. What do you need first to have an economic system be even put in place?
You need your own land. The first thing is you need land so you can basically incorporate that property and that particular landmass, and you can build upon that. Like when we had our towns, or what you want to call basically places where black people moved into once they left the plantation, and they started to build up communities across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
What was very prevalent is that, you know, they started to build a base. So people started to build schools. We already knew how to build things. Basically, we built this country, so automatically we knew how to build schools. We knew how to educate. We knew how to, you know, the ones that knew how to read taught the kids how to read. And we had basically religion. Now, even though the religion was flawed, of course, because, you know, it was based in Christian dogma, which is a whole nother program and situation, with white Jesus, which would explain the reason why we wasn't able to defend it as much. But we did have people, don't get it wrong, I'm not saying that we did not have people that was willing to go to the end and die, because we had plenty of that also, that was willing to die for our group and the people that lived in these communities. But it just wasn't able to protect ourselves as a collective, which meant that, you know, we was vulnerable to economic violence and physical violence. I mean, if they wasn't able to disband you economically, then they just allowed their thugs, better known as the worst terrorist group in the world, in world history, that's organic, is the Ku Klux Klan, you know. So basically, they allowed them to run rampant and destroy communities of color all over the United States, especially after Reconstruction.
So the first thing you need to establish is protection then.
I mean, that's part of it. That's part of it. But like, I want to kind of stay on the capitalist piece, because I think that this can kind of tie into the reason why there's this distrust. Because I think that what ends up happening is, because we wasn't able to hold on to anything, mm-hmm. there's a natural distrust between black people dealing with each other. I mean, you can sort of see it even when we're trying to practice economics with each other. There's always the skepticism. You know, we're thinking, people use phrases like, the white man's ice is colder. So even if there was like a grocery store that was smaller in design, as far as being in a community that may be black owned, that's working from the ground up, it's not going to look like Shoppers, Kroger, or, you know, Tom Thumb, or any of these other grocery stores. It may look a little bit different, but that's the economic condition that we're in. Of course, it's not going to be on that same level, because we don't have a system that's backing us. Everything is basically independent, especially if they're independently owned. So there's this distrust that the best things come from white people. You know, it's more security, it's checked up. It is basically supported by the larger dominant group, which means that if white people are buying it, then of course it must be clean and good for us, because they are not going to put poison themselves, which is not true anyway, because they poison themselves also. So anyway, that's like kind of like some of my synopsis. I think that I mean, we can go a lot of different ways with it, but I just kind of wanted to kind of get that thought out, as far as like the distrust, the reason why it seems that we're not able to work together. And of course, I know I didn't go over all of it in detail, but you know, if you wanted to kind of go and share your thoughts about it, then we can kind of come back to it a little bit and kind of, you know, move on from there.
Don't stop, because I think that it does. I think that the discussion, you know, when you look at the nine areas of activity and how they all tie together, when you look at mistreatment, how it ties into the nine areas, and then you look at current affairs, like what's happening to our people right now, which has been happening, but what's been highlighted as far as social media and national television media or cable news is concerned, it's all connected. You know, so we know that nothing happens in a vacuum or in a void. Like, these events, it took many events historically to take place to get to the point where we are, where these current events is happening, right? So obviously, you know, from the way I think about things, is that nothing in a sense manifests itself in an instance. And so I think through years and years and years of different events taking place, you get to where we are now. And I think that capitalism, which is a very, very old system, goes back, you know, centuries, or even maybe even thousands of years, to be honest with you. How it's being used is what's interesting, because, you know, you can come up with different terminologies and give them definitions, and we do have definitions for capitalism and economic systems, et cetera. What's fascinating is that there's other ways to function. We won't go too far into that, but I always think about groups of people that figured out other ways to function on the planet. Now, unfortunately, we've moved to a space which you hear me speak on, obviously, all the time, really, is we're moving into a space where scarcity is important to generate obscene wealth, right? So would you poison water to generate economics? Would you, basically set things up to where you can control the resource, right? So, you know, before you may have had, if you wasn't as connected within like a city structure, and everything is kind of plugged in, and as you work your way from out of the city, you get the burbs to plug in. Obviously, you get the towns, the rural areas, and everyone plugs into this bigger network that kind of tracks, counts, and maintains how much wood we need, how much paper we need, how much water we need, how much meat that we need, etc. And then you start to manipulate that process through processed foods, you know, to obviously, you know, and those things have their obviously their own issues, but a lot of these things, some would argue that it is having some effect on the planet, which is, I think, the planet itself is kind of showing that the way capitalism has been implemented today through the Western model, basically through white supremacy, basically through people who I believe, you know, are from environments that are that had scarcity, that maybe even created this mindset to where you basically figure out how to, and I don't know if it's conscious or not, but you go into places, you strip the place. I mean, you literally this place, they literally strip mountains. You go into places, you strip them, you hoard the resource, and then you wrap capitalism around it, you wrap government, you create governments, and then you wrap what they call policies around how to maintain and manage the land. And once that takes place, then now I can divvy out, you know, as necessary. Unfortunately, in that process, there's no real connection to the land. And probably when people, you know, I don't know about all groups of people, but generally, I think maybe even from just a natural standpoint, some creatures on the planet understand that the land gives them, the land, the air, and the water gives them life. And so there is a respect there. So you may can practice some commerce, but it has to be controlled, because you know that this is a very delicate planet, in my opinion, based off the knowledge that I have obtained, you know, over the years. And so knowing that things are temporary, you would try to preserve life as long as possible. And we should see that behavior pattern be applied to itself through any system that you implement, just based off of ensuring that we have the best quality of life that we can have once we get the knowledge. Now, the human being, or the human that falls in, you know, certain humans, obviously, specifically white supremacists, don't necessarily see things that way, in my opinion. So I just wanted to just kind of get that out. My question to you is, and we can kind of slide further to current affairs, is would you consider capitalism, you know, something good or something bad? I hate to use that terminology, but something good or something bad? Or is it more or less how it's used to, and then I add on how it's used currently to create scarcity, to exploit human labor, to basically, once you put this system into place, it has a tendency to infect people in a way to where not everybody, but enough people to where they're willing to do anything, commit suicide. If they lose money, say, for example, in the stock market, you know, that disconnected from reality. You also have situations where people are killing each other over land because they feel like this is my property. No one owns anything on this planet. I'm just going to leave that there. You also, you know, so you have people killing each other over what a piece of paper said is your land. And I know that historically we have indigenous people who had to deal with the implementation of having their land basically counted, put on file, and tracked, and then divvied out to who they chose to divvy it out to, clearly their own group of people, as they developed white supremacy, developed the Western Empire, and they had to be able to manage, obviously, human capital and land capital, or would you say resource capital?
Right. So there's a couple of things, and I guess let's just go ahead and delve into it. 2016, we're in the year 2016.
So I have been told.
So we've been told. Over the last 25 years, according to the Brandeis Report, the wealth gap between blacks and whites has nearly tripled. Obviously, something is being done to us within this capitalistic system. It's not working. Now, how can this happen when we have more black people? Now, these are the stats, right? More black people that got college degrees, right? Black females, black males alike. A lot of us are getting more educated. How are we being locked out of this particular system? What is being done that we're not seeing? How are we just this particularly basically economically challenged when it comes to how we practice economics? What is going on with our particular group in question as far as not being able to participate into this larger group dynamic called capitalism? And my main thing with capitalism, and people that will begin to listen to this program will start to notice that I have a phrase for it. My whole deal is, who are you going to mistreat? See, because this system is based off mistreatment. Capitalism in particular is dealing with people that don't have the same resources as you, that you can put pressure on to support you. That's the business model. If you go to business school, it talks very specifically about supply and demand. I supply, or I create a demand for that supply, and then you basically would pay me for your particular need. So if I got grocery stores and I have soap, I have, you know, colognes, clothing, just all your necessities here, and I house them, and I set the market to whatever the price value is, and I compete with other people that are basically have the same kind of resources. That means that basically we are practicing economics. Even though I may make more money than this other particular person, I'm still allowed to practice that economics. It's a participation type deal. Nobody gets there by themselves. So when all these businesses were developing, and then these whole markets were developing within the time frame after slavery, when we basically provided free labor for this country, free labor, generations, families working for free and generating wealth here, while white people did the thinking, basically did the masterminding of how they wanted to basically govern themselves in this particular country, where they had a separate view of citizens, or not citizens, no, that's not even, they had property, they had human beings that they basically said were property that was going to be a function of their economic systems to build up their resources here in this particular country, or this landmass, so to speak, where they're going to be able to exploit and then keep breeding this particular group. And then once that group basically became too difficult to withhold, or when there was conflict between warring tribes or warring white people, the economic model was no longer sufficient. So then basically they had to incorporate their property into citizenship. And that's what has happened to us. That's the reason why we're not really able to participate, in my estimation. This country was never meant for us. So when you're talking about working with people or working with this particular business model, everything is going to be exclusive. You're going to be excluded from participating with the large companies and things of that nature. Yeah, you can work with us if you have a great idea, but if you're talking about building other things with other black people, now you need to hold on that, Captain. That's not the way this works. We're already in place. For instance, if I wanted to have like an app, or I have like an app that I wanted to build and I wanted to go to Google with it, I still have to participate with the larger system. It doesn't matter. Even if you're on any kind of network that you want to have as your own, you still have to go through white people. It's their websites. It's their, they have the licenses and things of that nature. They have made it to the point where everything that we need to do to be participants in this system, we still have to go through them, which means that they are still checking all the boxes and balances, which means that if they want to, they can shut it down at any time. It's unfortunate. But then the biggest thing that comes down to the business model, and the reason why I look at it as the reason why we're not able to participate, is because we don't have a group that we can mistreat outside of our own. And black people do not like mistreating each other, because basically that turns into basically confrontation, violence to violent confrontation. We'll turn on each other in a heartbeat. And I think that got something to do with the distrust. Because the whole business model sounds like somebody's trying to get over. That's why when people deal business with each other, especially when you're dealing with other black people, they'd be like, oh man, why don't you go ahead and hook me up, man? Don't be so hard on me. Why don't you go ahead and, you know, do a brother a solid, or this and that other. And you're trying to talk business, right? Because you're trying to gain capital. You can't keep doing side deals with people. You see what I'm saying? So it turns you into something that you may not even want to be like that. But you have to become cutthroat, because that's what the business is. This is capitalism. You know, Karl Marx, survival of the fittest, all this type of Charles Darwin theories. People getting into these bull markets and trying to be deceptive and, you know, lie to people and, you know, coerce and, you know, do, you know, backhand deals and things of that nature. That's how white people did this. That you can't be straight up with this. You can. No, let me take that back. You can do that. You could do it the right way. But if you do it, right. But if you do economics the so-called right way, then you got to understand that there's a cap on that. And I think that people do that, and they can take care of themselves. But as far as it spreading and then being able to build a big corporation and a conglomerate, as far as like what white people mirroring what white people have, no, that's not a possibility. That's not happening. That's not happening. So that's my whole deal as far as economics is concerned. So, oh, greetings. I think we have a call from 414. Yeah, Mr. Reed, you can go ahead and put them on through. They want to go ahead and chime in. That's fine.
Hello.
Greetings. What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, greetings. I just had a quick question.
Yes, sir.
I was enjoying the program, and I'm calling from Milwaukee.
Yes, sir.
And here we have a lot of black people that's going into the real estate market, buying rental properties, renting them out, selling them, what have you. And something that you said stood out to me. You said that, you know, people really don't own anything in this country. And I just wanted to know if you could just unpack that a little bit, because from my observation, it seemed like black people owning a whole lot, you know. So I was just wondering if you could go into that just a little bit more.
Sure. I think that let me be clear. What I meant by that, as far as owning, I mean that everything that is bought, property that is bought, has to be licensed and paid for. So you have to go through an ordinance or go through the court to get a certain amount of property. When you get a real estate license, I don't know how it is in Wisconsin, but I'm pretty sure that you got to be licensed either by the city or by the state. Is that correct? To start selling property in Milwaukee or Wisconsin? Do you know? Hello?
Go ahead. I think he just dropped off.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I think that what I'm trying to say is that everything has to be checked. Everything
and look,
has.
And look, and not only that.
Can you hear me?
I mean, we've
Yeah, yeah. You can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I think you do have to be licensed by the state. I'm not exactly sure. But, you know, you have a lot of people that's how I say, you know, transitioning from quote unquote one business to another. And yes, it's just what I'm seeing right here.
Okay.
Well, I'll take it back a little bit further. Well, we all have heard of terminologies like eminent domain. The government really can take your property whenever they feel like it. They also raise, they figure out other ways to do gentrification. They raise taxes. If you go back and look at what I always found interesting is that looking at the building of the highways, the interstates, and even the railroads, and they would take people land or push people off the land for what they call progress. So in my mind, if you think you can own some, I mean, if you think you can own land, you literally own the land. I can't see how it's possible. You know, I know you are allowed to use the land. I mean, this is really a military state from my perspective, and it's used for whatever the white supremacists choose to use it for. And everything outside of it, you are allowed to do.
Do you have a handle, brother? Brought out of Milwaukee, or you just
say that again?
Yeah, do you have a handle? Do you want us to call you a particular name, or you want to use your name?
Oh, my name,
or
how
you want to be addressed?
You don't have to
if you don't want to. It's not necessary. I just wanted to just do you that courtesy just in case. I didn't want you to be, you know, because I think you posed an interesting question, so.
Oh, yeah, I mean, because, like, where I'm at, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
We have a lot of, we got churches, daycares, and then real estate, it seems like, are the business opportunities within the city where I am. Other than that, it's not a lot of opportunity. I was born in Gary, Indiana, and one of my older aunties just said Milwaukee looked like Gary when she was younger.
Yeah, so she mean that, you know, from perspective as far as like it being basically downtrodden, or
yeah, like, you know, downtrodden. Gary was I think most popular for the steel mill, and right. Then when the steel mill dried up, it was like so did the rest of the jobs, and it's not as bad in Milwaukee, but you know, as far as people getting hired, like, you know, everywhere you go, everybody white down there, you know, so it's, you know, just trying to kind of figure out something to, man, put a couple dollars together, you know.
Well, here's the thing, me and Paradox, we want black people to survive, we want black people to thrive as much as you can. Our overall view is that if you're looking for economics to solve the problem of racism, just understand that that is not going to be a viable option, in my opinion. And the reason for that is very, very simple.
I agree.
They have created a structure. White people that's classified as white, have created a scarcity model based off a top-down model, which means that there are very few people that hold wealth, real wealth, on this landmass.
Well, it just happened. Just saying, it just happened. The steel mills, they decided to move the steel mills to China.
Right.
To India.
Right.
I mean, one of the, you know, so I mean, they when it, from, especially from an economic perspective, as far as trying to figure out, they're not necessarily concerned about people.
Exactly.
And, you know, obviously in my opinion, so
it's a mistreat, and I don't mean to interrupt you, Paradox, but just to get back to where my point was, who are you going to mistreat? It's a mistreatment model. The business needs to keep moving because we need to keep making money. So if we can outsource the same product or whatever we're doing out overseas where people are getting paid, and see, this is a whole nother way of exploiting people, right? Where people are building phones, they're building shoes, they're building robotics, other electronic devices. They're outsourcing all of this. So if they can outsource this and not have to pay people a decent wage or a living wage here, then they're going to do so, because at the end of the day, it saves money. Now, most of the people that they're going to do this to, or they're going to exploit, are the ones that they classify as not white. So you got this with the Philippine structure, Vietnam, Hong Kong, all these other places of groups that can be exploited for labor, or cheap labor, by the way, because they have their own groups there practicing economics against them. because they're able to mistreat their own people. You see what I'm saying? It's not a model based for everybody to make it. This is what I'm trying to say. And when we're coming from the group, when we're the group that's basically mistreated the most in this model, there's a such thing as racism, white supremacy. And when you incorporate that into the model, then that's where we get all this conflict in. Because now you're dealing with an economically depressed group that was specifically attacked economically and physically here in the States, where we basically are the ones that built this country based off our labor. So they owe us. We are a walking embodiment of somebody being owed something for something that we worked for. We're not paid. The generations, these people sitting on United Healthcare, there are all kinds of companies now. Prudential, these Bilderberg groups, these people that got all this money, and with the agents in the railroads systems out west. I mean, are you kidding me? These people have built a whole society based off free labor. And then to try to make seem like welfare is something that we take from them? Come on, man. So, yeah, I'm glad you asked that question, brother. You had a comment you wanted to make?
Oh, yeah, just the last comment that stood out about you saying that, like, basically, if you're going to accumulate funds, it's like, who you going to mistreat? Another observation that I had here with the daycares, like, you know, you'll see a person open a daycare, and then you can tell that financially they're doing better. The catch part of that is the people that comes to check the quality of the daycare, they hand out like a certain amount of number of stars for the quality of the daycare. Now, these people coming into daycares and telling these people, the owners, you know what? Don't focus on academics or, you know, having them read and, you know, do all of that. Just, you know, just have them socialize, you know, and just get them to work on, you know, basically getting along with each other. Like, so basically these daycares is just like babysitting centers, man. It's not a lot of constructive information going through them places, man. And I mute my line.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man. Go ahead.
Let me just say this, too, is that depending on what area you are, what you're living in, daycare can be $1,200, $1,400 a month. And so a lot of people really struggle because of how the capitalist system has matured, specifically in the United States. Obviously, inflation and just cost of living, et cetera. Depending on what areas you are, you really can't even afford daycare. So you really got to kind of find some people on the side just for you to be able to work because of how everything is structured. It's very, very hard on the working class and the poor when you have a system set up this way. And it's not necessarily even pure free economy either, because you have other mechanisms in place that run this system that runs under the auspices of white supremacy. So when you look at the government structure, et cetera, you'll see how it ties into how it manipulates through capitalism to create certain outcomes vis-a-vis ghettos, et cetera. So I just want to say that real quick.
Q&A queue is cleared.
So, did you want to transition a little bit over, or did you want
one
or two more comments on?
We can transition up
on capitalists. We can maybe take a break, and then we can go to the more current affair topics.
That would work, I guess. I guess we've been going at it pretty headstrong here, so yeah, we can kind of go into a break if you want. That's fine.
You still have 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we're going to go a little bit over.
Yeah, we can go. You can keep.
No, we're going to do the 2 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
From when we started.
So let's go into it. Let's just dive right into it then. Go ahead.
I know you had wrote up a list.
I did.
I know you wrote up a list. So just set up your list. We can touch a little bit on it, then we can go to break after that.
Okay. So I have on the agenda, I wanted to kind of go over the shootings and. The shootings of counter violence is what I would deem it as, because in particular these are responses to racism, in my honest opinion. And these are the police shootings that happened in Dallas and Baton Rouge. Do we think that these are actual a constructive response, or is this not constructive? So I know this is a little bit dangerous territory, but I would like to kind of go over it and kind of delve into the reasoning why I think that these shootings took place, and you know, would these shootings continue, or if this is something that will probably be just like just the summer of 2016, and if the system is just going to basically morph into something else as far as being able to deal with the counter violence that is basically happening with these particular two victims of racism, white supremacy. And the victims that I'm specifically talking about is Micah Xavier Johnson out of Dallas and Gavin Eugene Long out of Kansas City, Missouri. They went to counter violence in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So my observation is this. I don't believe in shooting people that are not at fault for doing something that is directly towards you. What do I mean when I say that? Clearly, these particular individuals, people that are classified as black, two people that served into the service as far as the United States Army, and one was the U.S. Marine. They were taught to kill in these military institutions. If you think that there's anything else that they're teaching people primarily when they join the service, you're sadly mistaken. They were both proficient at arms. They showed that. And I think that their understanding was just like anything else. And I use this as an example because it still rings true to me. There's no difference when you tell someone to kill someone based off location, and then this person basically makes up in their mind that they have had it enough in their mindset. And if they're taught to kill, they're going to do what they're known to do. For instance, if you're telling people to kill people that they do not even know overseas, someone that they haven't had a conversation with, you're given orders to strike at someone that did not do anything to you. Just think about the mindset that you have to have to do something like that. This goes out to any victim that we know of that has basically served in the armed services. We know that puts a strain on the mental psyche. You're asked to kill individuals overseas, drone strikes, sniper fire, people dying. That's what this is. This system is based off violence. There ain't no other way. There's no other way around it. So when people start to kind of capitulate and say, well, you know, all the violence needs to stop, well, we need to stop the killing. What are you talking about? Stop what killing?
It's all about killing.
Military kill people every day. What are we talking about here? Are you just talking about where you're located at? Or are we talking about the people that's in Fallujah, Libya, Turkey, all over the place? People are dying. Or their lives not worth it because you're not white. You see? And I think that we, even with victims in our head, we are basically transferring ourselves into this mindset. So we think of ourselves as citizens, Americans, things of that nature. So we don't know how to kind of basically separate and think, if all lives matter, right? You hear this phrase, well, all lives matter. What are you talking about? All lives matter? Really? Is that what you're saying? So when you see somebody get bombed in these overseas countries and then they're getting sniper fire, you celebrated a mass murderer here. The American Sniper movie. That man is celebrated. Like he's some kind of hero. Oh, thank you for protecting this country. That's bullshit. excuse my French. How are you going to say that he? How are you going to say that he's some kind of hero when he's killing people with sniper fire? Do you understand how people are not going to know the difference if they're trained to kill and they feel like they're being personally attacked because they are black? Something that they cannot change. We wake up with this every day. If you see these brothers dying in Baton Rouge, you see people dying in Minnesota. What they did, I'm not condoning what they did. But we have to understand mindsets. Gavin, that brother was real clear. If you listen to any of his videos, he doesn't sound crazy. He's not a crazy dude. He's not out of his mind. I'm pretty sure that he knows, you know, all of the so-called history, and basically was a person that was what we would call socially conscious. I would just put it that way. I'm not going to speak too much as far as everything else, but he put it on record. I'm not part of any group. I wasn't taught that way. I was taught by the best. He was a Marine, a sergeant in the Marines. People need to let that sit in. 5 years in, sergeant trained to kill people that he did not know, that he did not have a beef with. Now, what do you think somebody's going to do when they figure out they have a beef with someone, whether imagined or not? He's going to go back and do what he's trained to do. And if they feel like the system of racism is causing them to do something of such drastic measure that there's no other solution to this problem but counter violence, and if they're trained to kill people already, this can be a situation that can get out of hand. That's my first response, and I want to talk about one of the things that we already kind of went over it on a previous program, but I want to kind of go over what I think can be a suggestion for police departments if they wanted to kind of ease the tension in the so-called inner cities black communities. Did you have any comments about the shootings? You want to be careful, thresh softly. Now we gotta be easy.
I'll just say one codified thing that we could request from the white supremacists is that we just disarm all the police officers, disarm them, take all their weapons from them. But that's a suggestion of mine. Is they shouldn't have weapons at all. If you want to go that direction, I think with it, I want to just reach out to the code book a little bit, if you don't mind, before we maybe get the break here. But just to read the ninth area of activity, you know, just so we can kind of stay a little focused. You know, I have a lot to say, but I'm gonna, you know. But anyway, I'm just gonna read a little bit of the ninth area, war, counter war. Avoid giving armed assistance to any racist, white supremacist, or to any armed or violent forces that are dominated and or controlled by racist or suspected racist. I mean, we can really just stay right there because, you know, obviously we all follow the code book individually, non-white people, that would, you know, obviously solve a lot of problems. Now, we do know that in reality, in this reality, they will make you arm and go and kill for them, or they will kill you or put you in prison. So it's a lot of decisions that have to be made when you're dealing with an empire, especially when they demand you to protect what they have taken. A little bit more of it is avoid promoting, supporting, and or participating in any form of violence or counter violence other than maximum emergency compensatory justice. His reason is it is unjust and incorrect to say or do anything that helps racists and or suspected racists to say or do anything that helps to promote racism, white supremacy, neither bribe, coercion, or otherwise force any person to kill, or I should say coerce, or otherwise force any person to kill and or otherwise do bodily harm to any other person. And what's interesting about some things I've heard him talk about, which is if it is your will to have bodily harm done to a person, it is correct to do it yourself. And he also says that and let everybody know you're doing it. Don't hide. So I find his logic on that something to ponder, because I think sometimes people can forget when we, and the reason why I use the word empire is because I hope that they can give a good idea about what it means to manage an entire planet globally. People have to understand that these people have military bases strategically placed all over this country specifically, from Alaska to Hawaii to each coast, also in the Caribbeans, and then we can go into Northern Com over in Africa and some other places they have set up there, etc. We can go into some of the seas in Asia, where they have some installations, and not only installations but also obviously some aircraft carriers, some submarines, etc., some things that we clearly don't obviously know about, obviously drones, etc. So understanding the level of alien technology to some groups of people around the world who still have a simple life, but understanding what it means to run an empire, what it means to run a global empire that's continuing to grow. People are continuously dropping their older ways of living, really being forced, and they're being pulled into the global labor force. We can touch on that a little bit later, but just trying to understand the sheer size of what this is and how it has manifested, how it has grown. Maybe we could have stopped it a little while ago, but unfortunately, we're in a precarious situation right now. We're getting ready to go to break. This is the Code Breakers on Black Talk Radio.
You are listening to Code Breakers on Black Talk Radio Network, new black media for the new millennium.
All right, we're back. This is the Code Breakers. This is Paradox.
And this is D.
Just coming back from break. Right now we're talking about Mr. Fuller and Area 9 war and counter war. And just read a little bit of what he wrote in the Code book. So, did you want to? We can go ahead and continue just going into topics you had written down.
Yeah, I have just quick suggestions that I think that are doable for victims of racism that are stuck in these In our neighborhoods where we are constantly under attack from race soldiers posing as police officers. One of the things that I suggested, or that I have a suggestion of, that I wanted to kind of put out there, is that if you're a police officer and you don't stay in the community or within 10 miles of your community or within the jurisdiction, then you need to not be a police officer in that particular community. That's number one. Number two, there are way too many trained black police officers that know that there is a problem of racism within the United States of America that can police their own. Let me repeat. There are way too many black police officers, new and well-trained police officers, that know that there is a problem of racism within the police forces where they cannot basically police their own. There should be no need for white officers in black communities to me. There's no need. There's way too many people, that black people, that are on police forces all over the country that should be in neighborhoods where they can police their own. I know that's kind of like going off the cuff a little bit, but I really truly believe that. Hey, I believe that's a suggestion, because a lot of this situation, as far as people having a misunderstanding, as far as not being able to communicate properly when they come on the scene, this is something that I see immediately. They're just automatically, I thought he had something, or we're going to go into shooting, because they haven't grown up around these people. They don't know us. If you're dealing with a community where you're basically foreign to that particular group of people, then of course you're going to look at them as other. We're already considered other already, but if you basically add the economic piece to it, then you look at them as basically combatants. That's the reason why people don't feel sorry for when they see these young black males and black women getting massacred out here on video. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's another one where there's a gentleman where he gets shot. I think he's running either away from police or towards the police. He don't have a weapon on him, but I mean, the officer gets out of his vehicle and he just goes directly to shooting. And I mean, he kills this man. He's shot, right? So he gets on his knees. He's totally bleeding. This is something that happened recently. I don't know exactly where the location was, but it was a high speed chase. So he gets out of his car, his adrenaline is pumping. He shoots the man right there on sight, puts about four of them in him. He gets on his knees, and then he's not saying anything. And of course, you know, this race soldier, he's like, "Get on you, don't move, don't move." And then he looks, I guess he's still not, you know, responding because he's shot. He shoots him dead in the head. It's like a straight execution. We're watching executions, and people are not being charged. We're not even talking about like something that is up for debate. This is clearly breach of duty. You're not a peace officer. You're not a police officer at that point. You are strictly a race soldier. If that is not the same kind of, you don't have the same kind of empathy towards someone that may be mentally ill, may be on drugs, may be doing anything else, and you can't look at this person to try to get them help, and you just see them running around acting all crazy, you don't put them down like that. And it proves that they don't have a weapon on them. How dare you? But that's just one of the things. I mean, I'm getting uncodified. I'm getting a little bit hyped because I'm thinking about all this stuff. But I mean, it's just watching these videos. It does something to us. Well, maybe, can you imagine children?
Maybe people need to probably cut back probably on watching.
I 1,000% agree. Yeah. Think about the children. Think about the children that watch these videos, though. Black children.
I mean, well, this is the thing. Now, look at the plan, or try to, you know, I don't have answers. So I've put it this way. I have a lot of questions about the purpose of this, the reasons why it's so important. The economic piece, we know it's going to be clicks, Facebook, YouTube, et cetera. You want the clicks, you want the hits. So from a business perspective, those particular corporations generate, I forget the numbers, it's in the millions per day. Recently, they ran some numbers. I don't have them in front of me. Just talking about the amount of wealth that they're generating from ads because of the amount of activity over the last 2 weeks. And you're talking about bloodlust as well. So, I mean, you know, you can almost feel the energy around the planet as these events were taking place and being shown live. You know, someone made a decision in the headquarters of these corporations that said, yes, let's leave it up, let's show it raw, and let's make some money. And it also assists in maintaining the system of racism. I mean, and that's what I mean, where it gets a little tricky, because when you start to get down to the very, you know, when you get down to the very individual level, and kind of talk about things in a social perspective versus trying to maybe pull back a little bit and try to see what is the plans here, what are some of the things they're going to check off here, because killing ain't nothing new in this system. They're not doing anything new. They're killing, I want to say, a couple hundred of us per year, of black people per year, unarmed. And then that number obviously goes up, and when you get across all groups of people, that number goes even higher. So we're talking about state-sanctioned killing, murder, being backed up by law, and I know they're going to implement new laws statewide at all levels, county and local, to continue to be able to do these things. And I know with the fraternal order and everybody else, all the unions and how everything is structured, they're going to definitely hammer a lot of new laws through the system. I mean, it is crystal clear, especially, which I won't give Democrats any too much room here, but from an overt perspective, dealing with the Republican group and how they have that structure, you're talking about 35 governors are Republican governors, mostly leaning very right. Most of them are, back the military and back the police departments. And they have no cut about it, no cut card about that. And so going forward, we should expect more of a police state. Going forward is that we need, you know, the whites are saying we need more access to weapons, we need access to bigger weapons, and we need to have more control over how we're going to manage the non-whites. You got to think, I want to say about 1 million or so Hispanics become legal to vote in this country. Also, we're talking about 50 or 60 million Latino people that are here on top of that, right? So we know we have most of them are quote-unquote legal citizens, et cetera. They're participating. They have to be managed as well. So we're dealing with two groups of people that can attack white people at a genetic level. So now we're talking about changing what people look like. Obviously, they have that's their main driving force here, is to maintain whiteness. And then the way they maintain whiteness, obviously one way is through the capitalist structure, through the educational structure, obviously, and through warfare and in the other areas as well, sex, et cetera. So trying, you know, we have to kind of watch and see real time, basically, you know, what are they looking to do 40, 50, 60, 80 years from now? How are they looking to make, what are they put, are these the things they're putting in place today to maintain the system for the next 50, 60 years? You know, how do you manage, for example, we'll take the president that we currently have in office today, right? You use him as a token, right? What it does is it's gonna manipulate enough non-white people to think that this place is what we call, you know, quote unquote good, and what are y'all talking about? There is no issues here. There's nothing going on here. Everyone deserved to die, you know. Even though I might be a Christian or whatever, we believe that some people do deserve to die, and they back it up by their religion. On top of all of that, not only do you have their religion backing up the system of white supremacy, you know, that, you know, those belief systems are all racist, they're all supremacist material, and they're designed to mistreat and exploit all non-white people really worldwide. But specifically dealing with black people here, us having to deal with the police state, you know, we really want to make sure we're focusing on how are they going to continue to implement rules and policies to ensure that they can continue to do this. Because this is not stopping. It has never stopped. I mean, and in my opinion, it's a few things I think that are going on. I know that politically speaking, they have their own agendas. I know that this ties perfectly into the RNC's platform. So if you think about the timing, not to get too conspiratorial, but if you think about the timing of when the timings of when they killed the cops, supposedly or allegedly, is that how they say it? So when that event took place, real or fake, you know, possibly staged, and I have my own other opinions about everything, because I'm not totally sure everybody's trained for combat in the military either, and I know Scotty can probably speak to that more than I can, but I know you go through basic training. But you know, I know some people go into IT, others go into different things, and you have people who are actually combat, and then people who are especially trained, you know, to kill. So, but anyway, not to get too far far away from what I was talking about.
Just to comment quickly on that, just basic training. All you got to be is a good marksman. I mean, you could set up targets in the woods and do what those individuals allegedly done. One just moved from one location to another and was shooting from long distance. And if people wasn't expecting it, you know, and couldn't pinpoint, that's not hard to do. The other individual took special classes at a school, you know, on that type of, and all he was doing was inside a parking garage, moving from pillar to pillar. Nothing, no, that's not nothing special, but, you know, what it is that these cops have been portrayed as being highly trained, and a lot of them aren't. And you can tell a lot of them aren't in shape, and, you know, they really just collecting a paycheck.
Absolutely.
True.
Absolutely.
And just from the RNC's perspective, I think that they are using, they're leveraging all this stuff. Like, what's so disgusting about it is that it almost feels like, you know, if you look at, like, if you ever watch vampire movies and stuff, it just kind of reminds me of the, you know, not having a, not being, basically not being human. I know we don't want to go too far down that road, but not being human. To have the ability to pretend that you're not drone striking and murdering people all over this planet is insane to me. And not even that, but toppling governments that you set up, which is creating starvation, rape, suicide, etc. The amount of death that these people generate on this planet is unbelievable. For someone to think that there's some kind of being somewhere that's supposed to be regulating this stuff is ridiculous in my opinion. But anyway, when you're looking at the RNC, and I'm like, well, it appears that the timing of this kid couldn't be better to push your agenda to what do they call it, to energize your base, to get people out the vote, you know, to get put in office. So it's just that it almost feels like, in one sense, it's insignificant to them. Like, we're going to just use this because this is going to help us get votes. Like, we don't even care really about what's going on because this is standard operating procedure. So the energy that's being pulled from the death is interesting because it's not unusual. You know, I know watching it live on video is unusual when it's not a television show and it's actually people dying and we're watching through Facebook Live someone actually dying, and I can't get the images out of my head. I need to not be watching it myself, and I do feel it, but I have to try to pull back and shut those emotions down to a degree and try to really get an understanding of what are the purposes behind death. Because it seems like in their system, right, in their quote unquote democratic capitalist system, in their white supremacist system, it seems like they look at individual human life as expendable, even within their own group.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think one of the things that has been very, very interesting to me is the kind of narrative that gets created out of life being taken. Normally, when you can cast and say, well, thousands has been killed, it almost seemed like it's not even the equivalent, depending on who that particular group is that's being killed, to one white person that may be killed. That there's this outcry of grief. And I think it has something to do with them being the minority on the planet. Like I really think it's tied to people being vulnerable through genetic annihilation. If you're talking about a group that is only less than 10% on this particular globe, then any death based off the numbers of the situation seems to be magnified more than everybody else because you are the minority on the planet. I mean, even subconsciously, it explains itself, the reason why, you know, you can't just kill one, you got to kill 30 to 40 once they kill one of yours, like this, like you said, this bloodlust.
D, statistically, you would be correct. For the first time in history, their death rates have exceeded their birth rate, and I know it's from war. And then even if they survive the war, 22 vets a day is killing themselves. So that sounds like genetic annihilation to me, self-inflicted.
Think about that. In their own system, where they still self-terminate, they're not able to live with the things that they do overseas because they know that it's still causing harm. It's basically there's something wrong, right? There's clearly something wrong on this planet, the way it's governed, the way it's basically being ran. And the thing that's wrong with this planet is global racism, white supremacy. If you just take away everything and you just look at the things that are happening that do not have to happen on a daily basis, where there's going to be so many other problems being solved, it's insanity. The things that are going on, the things that are basically written into law, the reason why people sanction killings. You want to talk about sanctioning killings? Like when you have people building like massive bases overseas, basically taking over whole indigenous populations, forcing them into labor. If they do not basically capitulate with that, then you're dying. We're going to starve you out. And if we get to counter violence, then we're going to kill you too. I mean, there are all kinds of things that are going on that are incorrect.
Look at what the congressman just said. You just played it at the beginning of the show.
Absolutely. And absolutely, and I think they got to keep reiterating to themselves that this is the right thing to do. We're white. We are basically God's chosen people. Mm-hmm. That God has smiled upon us. Like, white supremacy is a religion. Like mm-hmm. when Mr. Fuller said that, like, at first I'm like, well, what are you talking, white supremacy? You know, you talk. When you really think about how dedicated that you have to be to this, and when it basically incorporates into your actions, and then you think about the connection with Dr. Wells and with the genetic annihilation, which basically causes people to act in this imbalanced way because everybody else on the planet is not operating on this level, then it filters into everybody else that we have to be like them just to live in their particular society, mm-hmm. which causes us to be imbalanced. And now we're causing each other harm because we're so out of control with this. It's like
it's the
capitalist. If you're asking, just getting back to the subject of this particular program, if you're asking me if capitalism creates a way of basically infiltrating the system, I have to really ask you a serious question. At the end of the day, if you want to be successful at it, are you going to be allowed to be white, and who are you going to be mistreating? Because at the end of the day, those two components need to be put onto the table, because if you're not able to do one of those particular two things, you're going to have very, very difficult. It's going to be very, very difficult for you to practice economics in a broad way. You could do it individually now. You could do it individually. I think it's been very successful. There are a lot of people that can get a comfortable place in their system based off their overall model. But if you wanted to incorporate and basically affect your group in mass, that's going to be a difficult model, based off what they have set up into place, because this system was basically set up to mistreat people through economic violence. I'm sorry, go ahead. What were you about to say?
No, I was just saying, I was thinking about, I'm going to get a little bit off the subject, but we were thinking about, we were discussing earlier about some of the things that we brought over from Africa. Culturally speaking, the way we prepare our foods, etc., all even through slavery, and just how a lot of us not realize that we're still carrying a lot of those, a lot of that energy, a lot of those ancestors are still with us, and how we're constantly having to not be what we were, even though it's still there. I mean, it's like it seems like it's been ingrained in us for so many thousands of years that even through all of the mistreatment, specifically here, you make always make a good point about how a fraction of us came to this nation before it was a nation. And by us coming here, in that small group, and how we were treated, and how we weren't allowed to practice any of our belief systems, how we weren't allowed to speak in our languages, and just how even that follows, even when you look at, like, the we were talking about the Pentecostal church, and I always say a lot of the shouting and things of that nature really is really to me is linked back to how we even to this day practice like voodoo and other belief systems. And it's just interesting because it we know that it's still there, and we know that no matter what they've done to us, that we still have a lot of connections. But just like you said, just us having to practice economics, practice capitalism, practice their belief system, you can, you know, the more you study the history of a specific, you know, especially, you can kind of see how you're kind of divided in half. Yeah. You know, we do a very good job of compartmentalizing, obviously, because we survived. But when you really think about it, it's like, wow, you're telling me that I still am having to drop, even to this day, I still can't be African, I can't be black, I can't be I have to constantly go to this light. It makes me think about the what's the guy in the white suit in that film,
the architect.
It's like I'm having to go to this light, having to go to this, you know, constantly, you know, you can't say things this way, you can't act this way, you know, be a capitalist, as your friend would say on television or ESPN, you know, be a capitalist. And when someone says that, it's, they're talking about being violent. You know, what people, I think, have to get an understanding of is what is required to do this type. And they're not saying there is not another way of doing it. If we could get, if we get rid of the white supremacists, we destroy white supremacy, it might be possible. I don't believe it will be, though. But just getting an understanding of how do you have to manage people, how you have to treat people, how you have to treat the resources, how you have to allocate things out. And a human being is making those decisions on what they think you should or should not have, where you should and should not go. And what does all of that mean? And is it worth practicing? Because some people are going to say, sure, this is the best thing they've ever seen. You know, it's not like people really know our history, and we don't really have access to a lot of data that hasn't been whitewashed. But just understanding that you can practice some commerce, you can do some form of quote unquote business, but also understanding how you have to have balance. And that's what you're not getting here. What you're getting here is bloodlust. What you're getting here is vampires. What you're getting here is people who are extracting all resources from the planet, human, water, air, land. You know, it's just it's insane.
When does it end?
I don't have a lot of words for it. It's really insane when you really think about it.
When does it end?
Well, this is the thing. Victims at some point, and you do see some of it, like, for example, because we had a president for 8 years with color, the thing about that is that you're getting a white backlash, right? Or the new Obama effect, that you may hear that language at some point, but you're going to get backlash because of what they perceive as success. So, you know, what's funny about capitalism is that it's a very violent, competitive environment. So if you're doing well, people are trying to figure out how to take it from you, how to buy it from you, you know. And they use, obviously, different languages to make everything feel good. They pay you well. You can go somewhere, obviously, and chill out. But it's just interesting that the requirements, and has anyone really sit back and said, well, so you're telling me I have to go steal land, murder everybody because they practice life a certain way? You know, the creator, the divine essence, you know, the universe, you know, created people, brought them here, allowed them to function, and they've been functioning a certain way, you know, for millennia. And then another group comes in and says, you're doing it the wrong way. I'm going to sex you out. You know, I'm going to rape your land. And then we fast forward until today, and we're still dealing with the process.
Right.
We can go to Africa and see it happen. We can go to India. You have conflict now in India because they're trying to implement the same system. You're seeing conflict in China because they're trying to implement the same system. And so you're having to murder people. You're having to disenfranchise people globally because everyone is chasing power. Everyone is chasing money. But see, if you don't understand the system of white supremacy, racism, everything else will confuse you. Because see, what they don't know is that this is a system of racism, not capitalism. It's a system of power, right? It's a system of a resource extraction, manipulation, and control. So if we, you know, as people get a clear on the whole purpose of this is to attempt to create some clarity. I am a victim. I don't have the answers. But we can't put some questions out there to say, well, is this behavior correct? Does the planet accept this behavior? Or is it rejecting the behavior?
All we need to do is just look at the most vulnerable when it comes to the group that classify themselves as white. If they have a system that is structured for them and they still have victims in their own system that are basically committing suicide, doing things that is detrimental to themselves, still being depressed, still falling under this particular pressure, and this is a white person, can you imagine the psychology or the weight of the damage that's basically being weighed upon those that are strategically being oppressed by this group that's classified as white?
About suicide. We have some historical evidence, if I'm not mistaken, that indigenous people had almost a zero rate of suicide. Now, I've seen some writings in that specifically in this particular land, on this landmass, is that the suicide started once they was captured. You know, once they was forced into a European model, they started committing suicide, and they start to see an increase, obviously, in a whole slew of issues that is created by this system. So we can even get into the physical aspects of it, from causing cancer.
Right.
To show you the effects of it, and how a human being, even though this model was produced supposedly by humans, it's incorrect, and we have the evidence. I think we have a significant amount of evidence to prove that it's incorrect. And when you do, and I will say this, you've had people worldwide pushing back on the system, and they do kill them. And we have examples really all over this nation, but we can even go down into Peru and to some other places where they're trying to exploit land, fresh fertile land. You still have some indigenous people getting pushed around to the, like, it's amazing that when I look at some of the history here, how it's not settled. You know, it's still happening. Indigenous groups are still being killed. People who are trying to fight against the system are still being murdered. So I just want to put that out there.
Well, the movie that you put me on to, this,
Good
I Kill. Guess it Good Kill is one, but then I want to keep it within the capitalistic type of view. Big Short. Not mistaken, this was basically considered one of the best movies of last year. One of those Oscar-worthy movies. That white people decide that they wanted to do. And that movie was based off economics and based off the U.S. housing market and how it basically became unstable due to the subprime loans and stuff like that, which is all predatory. People lying, basically.
And they also targeted minorities with those loans as well.
Absolutely, which they did not which they did not focus on in the movies. Oh, you're talking about the people that were black people being ignorant about what was happening to them, or the white people that's doing it being ignorant?
No, white people are not ignorant about racism or anything else, really.
Let's repeat that. That is, please, if you do not get anything from this program, please understand that the group that classify themselves as white, to even call themselves white, is a misnomer. They are not ignorant about racism and the damage that it has done globally. Anytime you hear a white person talk about economics, politics, Republican Party, Democratic Party, they have a significant IQ when it comes down to the dynamics of race, and they know how to talk to the ones that are confused about it, which are us, the group that is basically classified as not white, specifically black, especially when they have conversations. We just kind of, you know, basically kind of following, and just we just look for any little thing, that we can deem as this person being a good white person. We find anything of solace that they can give us credit on that we would basically give these people passes on. So please, if anything, if you get anything from this program, if you watching the Klan rally, which I call the RNC convention that is in Cleveland, Ohio, please understand that all of those white people there are not confused about racism. Do not let them lie to you and say that they do not understand what racism is. It's just not true. It's too much evidence. It's too much. When they clap about certain things happening, when they boo about somebody even getting justice for murder, they don't even look at it as somebody being murdered. They just look at it as that's us against them. Like, it's clearly drawn. And I'm not talking about victims of racism. I'm talking about the ones that classify themselves as white. When they declare themselves, they clearly have an idea. No, we support this particular group because this group rides for us.
Are you going to touch on the DNC?
The Democratic Convention?
That's going to be the other Klan rally.
Oh, well, yeah, we'll get to that. I'm gonna leave you to that. I'm gonna ride hard on the RNC, and I'm gonna let you go ahead and clobber the liberal faction of the white
insidious
race.
Insidious. That's all I would say. Insidious.
Hey, you get no argument out of me. One is blatant. One is insidious. Hey, like I said,
very racist.
You being right up front and telling me exactly what it is. Hey, I gotta respect it. But then you can't just turn around and say, well, I don't know what's really going on. I'm really ignorant about racism, when you basically already declared yourself and basically explained yourself as far as what you believe America should be. We should go back and make America great again. What does that mean? And how was black people being treated when America was great? Can you explain that to me? Like, are we talking about in the 68?
After 68, what are we talking about? We've never stopped being mistreated. Just because a few tokens have been raised up through the system does not negate the fact that we're talking about high 80s and 90% of us are struggling. So there is a few that's been there for a while. I don't know if you want to get on. We won't get too far, too deep on the groups that have had some access and have had some, you know, a little less mistreatment, I would say, which is definitely assisted in creating, you know, more division. But I think when human beings are in a bind, they do some strange and interesting things from a behavioral perspective, especially in this particular system where, you know, as Dr. Wesley would say, give you a little bit more fat back, you know, and, you know, you can kind of see how people respond with, you know, getting a little bit more. And again, we're still talking about a white supremacist, a system that hides in capitalism, really. And you can kind of see how giving someone a little bit more, setting things up with certain people within a group that you classify, can create division, can create a disdain for one another, anger, and even murder. For that matter. And because at some point we definitely need to touch on like the invention of ghettos and just kind of how the behavior patterns that come from that. You know, what people have to understand that this stuff is on purpose. It's predictable almost.
Absolutely.
And this is on purpose. This is not happenstance here. This stuff is, they're prepared for this stuff. And again, this is in my opinion, they're prepared. So the disgusting part about it is that they know the murders are coming. That's why it's disgusting, is that it's no surprise, and they study it. You know, how many murders are we going to have? Should we lower the murder rate this year? Should we increase the murder rate this year? How are we going to manage it? How are we going to maintain this? You know, how are they acting? You know? So just wanted to say that.
For all the victims that are still on the fence as far as white people being confused about about racism. Just ask yourself this. As long as they've known you and been your friend and things of that nature, how much have they actually done to fight and to basically rail against the system of racism and white supremacy? Just ask yourself that question, especially for those that hang around or around white people, or for any mysterious reason are in a tragic, tragic relationship with a white person. And it's tragic because the one that's being mistreated is clearly the one that is not classified as white. You're always mistreated if you're in an intimate relationship with a white person. I mean, it is beyond the pale of being incorrect, because that's mental damage that's going to be done. And then if you have children, then it filters down to the children also. So, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, I don't have anything else, man. Did you want to kind of like give a closing statement before we get up out of here?
I think we got a few.
Yeah, 20 minutes.
Yeah, about 20 more minutes.
Oh, okay. So let's
we started a little late, so.
Gotcha. So let's go into we didn't rail against the system, the beast a little bit. Let's talk about the socialization of the creation of the system, and when it creates a victim that is totally about anti-blackness. So let's talk about the victim, otherwise known as Sheriff David Clark, and how dangerous he is to black people. So did you have any comment about his speech the other day, and how that basically reverberates through the system and caused conflict between other black people?
And yeah, I mean, I think
victims alike.
I'll just say this real quick, and I'll let you take it though. But I would just say that emotionally, you know, it doesn't feel good, but it's typical, it's predictable, it's old, it's been around for hundreds of years. And he's been given what's the word they use? You know, he's been given
agency
to say these things. And again, the better I get it, and I recommend people study as much history as possible. But as I learn a little bit more about the history, about our history, about their history, you see these things coming, so it helps a little bit emotionally. So I'm looking at a victim. You know, I'm looking at a person who is classified as black. I'm looking at a person who I know is being mistreated by white people.
Now you
from
you have,
a from a from what were you about to say?
Well, the thing is, how dangerous is this victim?
So, I'm gonna try to stay with Mr. Fuller on this a little bit, but the thing is, if you have a standing army, we can have a different conversation. If you can find me a military that I can hire, then we can have a different conversation about what to do with victims of racism who unfortunately are lost. I'm not going to judge anyone, specifically black people. I know I cannot do that. I am not that. You're not talking to someone who is super conscious or conscious at all, really. And so, you know, I'm trying to get a better understanding of the system. I'm trying
still learning,
still trying to improve myself. So I'm not going to judge. I don't know why he's saying what he's saying.
Well,
matter of fact, I would say this. I find it funny with him is if you read a little bit on him as far as him fighting with this white guy, some billionaire son that runs the state, and he's trying to get money. He's trying to get he's trying to get funding for the sheriff's department, and just how he fights and how he is. So unfortunately, the media is trying to make it seem like they're going to use him to create conflict. I'll put it that way. So he's prime to produce conflict because of his personality. So if you read some articles, if you look at I think it's the Milwaukee, I forget the name of their paper, but they have some articles on him, just kind of, you can kind of see how he acts locally. So the personality is definitely there, and they're exploiting that. They're exploiting that part of him, and you can right. see that. You can, I think, you know, what do I know? But you can kind of see that he's feeling himself, right? They've given him full access. Now he has to behave, and I know he's. I'm telling you, I mean, when the things that have been done to us, there are so many people that's like him. That works in offices, that works in manufacturing, that works everywhere. You know, that mindset, that thought pattern, that anti-blackness. He look in the mirror, hates his skin, possibly hates right. The group of people because he can't process. I think he was a beat cop for a while, and I think for some years actually. And you know, we don't know what these things are doing to people, so we're going to have a lot of people that if it was time to take action, that you're going to have to cut down. I mean, me and you were talking about the Civil War. And, you know, you had supposedly forced, I will say, African people, black people fighting against the Union Army. They're all races at the end of the day. But just looking at the dynamic of where you're having people on both sides, you know, shooting at each other, shooting at whites, shooting at blacks on both sides, shows you how perverted this environment is. Now I'll just stop right there.
Yeah, I think that it's very, very critical that, number one, he's extremely, extremely dangerous. Because, see, what happens when you get someone like Sheriff David Clark to spew his venom across the airways, it almost put the system actually in order. Like it transfers its anti-blackness all over the place, which means that there are plenty of victims or plenty of people of course. But see, it doesn't mean just because you have VGQ doesn't mean that you're being constructive either. Doesn't mean that you're not dangerous, especially to the most vulnerable group. And if you are forced into that classification of being in the most vulnerable group, which is in this instance described as black people or people of African descent or melanoid people, then it causes a rift. Because what ends up happening is, clearly, there's been mistreatment done to this particular group. He has an idea of how to deal with that mistreatment. He thinks that it's behavior based, that what you could do, you should not make any excuses. Things that we heard before: pick up your bootstraps. You don't have to have nobody have any kind of control over your actions. You are in control of your own destiny. Things that happened in the past don't got nothing to do with you. You are basically completely clear to that. He even said one time that racism doesn't even exist like it did anymore. Like there's not even a system of racism put up anymore. That is just basically a figment of black people's imagination. Now think about that. How did he get to this particular point?
Let me ask this question. Are you qualified to determine who should get justice and who shouldn't get justice?
Absolutely not. Okay. Absolutely not qualified to do so.
Right. So I'm just wondering, can a black person or a victim of racism, you know, make the decision on who's more what anti-black than the other one? You know, who's gonna be making these decisions in the future?
And see, that's what I'm saying. Like I can say that. In my estimation, without attacking him, the person, I could say that his actions is detrimental. And the reason why I say that is because basically he's blaming victims of violence for basically being in their body or doing things prior to whatever that interaction was with the actual police. He believes that being that you are someone that may have been in a certain class or a certain, you do things that are not in a social order, like he, I guess he's like one of these where, you know, you if you do things to bring attention to yourself, then you deserve whatever result you get when basically a police officer comes to interact with you. And that's what I mean by him being dangerous, especially to the people that are basically falling under the brunt of that mistreatment
so,
the most.
So you think that we need a drop squad to make a phone call to get him in line? We need something to start to. Once I was telling someone, I said if we have groups of people that can check, because he's getting paid to say things to generate wealth, right?
Absolutely.
So he's using capitalism to make money. He knows if he says these things on a network designed to create a particular ideal in people's minds, then he will be one of the few that can take advantage of that situation, because he's willing to make the statements, and then he gets paid from making those statements. And so,
may I ask a question?
Sure.
And you, because y'all are more versed in the code book than I am. But like, for example, I talked about what he said, the letter, everything y'all talked about, The Hill, one of the oldest, most prestigious papers in Washington, D.C., gave him an op-ed page to say that Black Lives Matter. The headline said that if there's a war and Black Lives Matter is the enemy, and he making threats all against Black Lives Matter. And like I said today, that's a direct threat against my children. And because my daughter participated in one nonviolent protest that was permitted by the city because they applied for it and paid the application fees and all of that. And he's telling people, especially in areas where I live, where these people are uneducated, but they're not ignorant about racism, if you want to catch my meaning, you know. So I look at it that, you know, when D said dangerous, I would underline that word. Because we already know Dylann Roof has run up in churches, and I understand all that he says and the reasons that he's saying it and who's giving him the platform to say it. But he's putting people's lives at risk. And then, you know, I would even say pushing some veterans who we know have already they allegedly engaged in counter violence, and how do we know this isn't triggering PTSD? You know,
right.
I just see it as being very dangerous, and I don't know if that's like, and I'm not saying y'all said it, but he doesn't, in my understanding of VGQ, that he's not speaking out against racism, so he doesn't have a qualified, you know, guaranteed status as a victim because he's not speaking against racism. He's promoting.
He doesn't believe in racism, Mr.
Right. He's promoting racism. He's allowing everything that y'all said was correct. He's being paid to practice to say these things and what have you. He's being rewarded. I mean, I hate to simplify it like a dog and or pony show, or how you train a dog and you give it treats to get it to sit or to shake your hand, or, you know what I'm saying? It's really just degrading of Black people, period. But, you know, I've said too much, but I don't understand, Mr. Fuller, to say people like him have VGQ. Now, I would consider, if true, these two vets, I would give them VGQ. You know what I'm saying? I don't say anything against them. I don't say anything to I don't criticize them, because my understanding of VGQ is, you know, if they did it against racism, and then y'all talked about Mecca earlier, and if he believes that's correct, then let him do it. So individuals did it. So I'll just get him VGQ and leave it at that. But I do find his comments threatening towards my children, since they may in the future, like my daughter wanted to put BLM on the latest killing of a Black person on the back of her window as she drove to work. I had to explain to her where we live, remind her where we live, and why would you want to put a target on your car like that for these people to, you may not make it to work. So she made the correct decision and did not advertise her support that, you know, she thinks that Black lives should matter. I'll mute myself.
Think about this paradox, and thanks for sharing, Mr. Reed. I appreciate it, because you just sparked a thought in my head. if they support, this is to the white psyche, Black Lives Mattering, then they're going to be genetically wiped off the planet. Now just think, just follow me for a second. If what people are asking for that to come to fruition, to everybody to be treated basically the same, we're not even talking about changing the system, which is incorrect within itself, but we're just talking about people basically having equal treatment across the board, even how incorrect this system is at this present point. If whiteness is not validated, right, as something separate, as something good, as something that should be upheld, and white starts to disappear because of the interactions between people that are classified as white and people that are clearly classified as non-white, and the ones that are black being the most potential to annihilate something that is classified as white, you can imagine saying something like Black Lives Matter is almost a declaration of war to these people. If you really think about white psyche, that's why Dr. Welsing not being, it's almost like I miss her, man. Because my first question is, what do you think about this movement, and why are white people so, because they have a physical reaction. If you have something where somebody's saying, when somebody says Black Lives Matter, it's like just this whole reaction, this vitriol that starts to happen with them. Like, it's almost like an attack. And you're just saying it, Black Lives Matter. Like, they really look at it as something that is a declaration of war. That's why they said that they need to be basically described as a terrorist movement. And we're the ones still confused about about terms here. We're the ones confused. Victims. Even the people that are in the Black Lives Black Lives Matter movement. It's not clear. It's not clear to us that what we're saying is basically trying to eliminate the white race. I mean, I'm saying psychologically, I think that there's something going on with that word. When you say Black Lives Matter, well, all lives matter, you know? Though don't you ever forget it. Like, white lives before your life, basically. Because they're not talking about all lives, of course, because yes. All lives don't matter to them.
Well, all lives can't matter.
There you go.
They're in survival.
Perfect.
My question is this, though. Are we behind enemy lines or are we not?
Absolutely.
That something that you believe or you don't believe?
I believe that we're all 1,000%.
You can be killed at any time.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So is there always a threat?
Always a threat. That's the reason why. What I'm saying is that makes the violence doable. It makes it mean less.
Does Sheriff Clark, is he a white person?
Absolutely not.
Does he run white supremacy? Is this his system? Is he in charge of something?
He's an agent. He's an agent of white supremacy, though. I know. Let me take that away. He's dangerous. He's dangerous.
I just want to make sure that we're
right. I'm answering your question that he has identified himself through action as being someone that's forced into a group that's the most vulnerable, but he still causes a lot of damage within that group. He's almost like somebody that's in the cell block stabbing other victims of racism, white supremacy, or stabbing other people that's in that particular cell block that's being mistreated by the warden. He's that kind of person. He's rogue.
Well, I just want to be... I don't get me wrong. I do put him in that category. But I just want to be just a little careful with some stuff, just because I know that the way their system functions, it kills us in many different ways, literally kill us. So even though what he's saying does create increased tension, it's very dangerous, I'm not totally clear, has it ever not been dangerous for us to do anything within this system? As well as
Well, not the level of counter violence we're seeing now. We've seen it in different periods, like in the 60s, maybe in the 40s, maybe, you know, just there's different periods, cycles of counter violence where victims have said, you know, they ready to go Mecca. I can't take it no more, and I don't see any alternative. And to me, you know, even though Mecca requires you to kill yourself, well, you know, if you attack a cop, you're dead.
Yeah.
Or if you're so, you know, that's basically that's why they come up with the term suicide by cop. So, but I think this current period, since I've been alive in the past 50 years, and I was too young to remember, you know, the assassinations that was going on, you know, during that period of the 60s and the 70s and what have you. But I have not seen this level. I've read about in the 80s, but I was in high school and I don't even remember. They was hiding this counter violence from us, but it was actually people classified as white bombing corporations and stuff of saying they were doing it for apartheid. And now we're here in 2016, and I would have to say we had to go back to the 80s to see this level of violence where there's counter violence done on people who work for the state. And so, yeah, I'll be 50 in November, so that's been my observation. So I just want to share that data.
And I just add that when I think about how their structure functions, they have developed a system to where not only do we kill each other, so there's been a high rate of violence continuously. And the more they squeeze us, obviously, the more the violence gets ratcheted up. So the more they starve us out, the harder it is for us to get resources. When you look at the increase in, for example, college tuition, or the defunding of the educational institutions, et cetera, and privatizing those things and leaving a lot of black people out of the mix, which in turn, I think is violence, and it creates violence. And people normally either respond through depression, drug abuse, or from murder to survive. So I just wanted to say that as well. So we do know that we are in a very violent environment. And I think it's a continuous stream of violence, and it clearly has its peaks, obviously. And when we try to study, we talk about studying those all of the cycles and how things kind of process through. When is it time for them to increase the violence to get us to respond a certain way? And my question really is, you know, what are they looking to get us to do here? You know, what is the purpose of it? Is are they seeing any fractures within their own group, and this is what's causing the response? Is there things going on globally? Is why they feel like this is now necessary to take place? Are they even almost like an initiation process? Are they recertifying? That's a better word. Are they recertifying white supremacy? Are they trying to ensure that things are intact, that everyone that's white is practicing racism and making sure things are nice and tight, and making sure that we understand as non-whites that our lives are at risk at all times.
Absolutely. 1,000% agree.
Did you have anything else you wanted to say before I read a couple of things that I wanted just to mention?
Nope, I don't have anything. So did you have anything that you wanted to kind of quickly summarize really, really quick before we get up out of here?
Well, I do want to remind people that we will be on again on August the 2nd from 9 to 11 live. And you can also find our podcast on the website. I did want to read Dr. Wells' definition of racism, functional definition of racism, white supremacy and apartheid. As a black behavioral scientist and practicing psychiatrist, my own functional definition of racism, white supremacy is as follows. I'm just going to read some of it. Racism, white supremacy is the local global power system and dynamic structure and maintained by persons who classify themselves as white, whether consciously or subconsciously, to determine which consists of patterns of perception, logic, symbol formation, thought, speech, action, and emotional response as conducted simultaneously in all areas of people activity. Just something to that I want to always stay close to understand that their ultimate purpose from her studies is the genetic survival and to prevent white genetic annihilation on planet Earth. Just something to always think about when you're understanding, you know, what we believe, why they're practicing this behavior, and the issues that come from that. Just want to mention it on the record.
Once again, want to remind everybody that we will be back on air August the 2nd. So please come to the network and listen on Black Talk Radio. Once again, we'd like to thank Scotty Reed for allowing us this platform to share our thoughts and views. And till next time.